Before I start the show, I want to thank Donner Ski Ranch for hosting the Legends of Tahoe event this year. Donner's going to stay open until you guys stop going. And by the way, if you bring a season's pass from any other mountain from now to the end of the season, they'll give you a $25 lift ticket for the day. The Effin' Rad Snowboard Podcast is presented by Skyview Campers, Never Summer's innovative take on the tiny home. Designed and built in beautiful Colorado, check out skyviewcampers.com. Wired Snowboards builds quality snowboards by hand 10 minutes away from my house. Visit wiredsnowboards.com and order one today. Fixed bindings are easy to adjust, long-lasting, high-performance bindings built to have less impact on the environment. Check out fixbindingco.com. Rip Curl Outerwear, strength, durability, and performance. Designed to search further in the snow, head to ripcurl.com and check out the Anti-Series jacket. I can't wait to rock this thing. New Greens, 100% organic, vibrant green juice. Buy yourself some at newgreens.com and use code EFFINRAD at checkout for 20% off. The Boardroom Snowboard Shop, best selection, best prices, Vancouver's premier snowboard shop. The Boardroom ships to anywhere in North America, so go to boardroomshop.com or visit their stores in Vancouver and North Van. Support also comes from Mount Seymour, Grouse Mountain, Cypress Mountain, the Pro Standard GoPro accessories, and our friends at 1910. You can use code EFFINRAD at checkout for 20% off at 1910.com. The Haven's a center for transformational learning located on beautiful Gabriola Island. Plan a visit at haven.ca and use code EFFINRAD at checkout to save 10% off their Come Alive program. As Season 9 of Effin' Rad draws to a close, I'm bringing you a few mini-interviews from the Legends of Tahoe event at Donner Ski Ranch. This week's guest is Tom Shea. From 1985 to 1991, Tom Shea published the very first snowboard magazine. It was called Absolutely Radical and eventually became International Snowboard Magazine. If you've ever wondered why, you're just about to find out. Tom's vision for snowboarding drove the progression back in the 80s, and his love for snowboarding continues to this day. I was surprised and so stoked to get to ride with him at Donner. This is one of my favorite interviews I've ever done, so please sit back and enjoy this interview with Tom Shea.
You know, I mean, look, I'm a child of Thrasher magazine.
Sick.
That was our Bible.
Totally.
I grew up in San Francisco skating. Mm. I skied in Tahoe most of my life and came up to really ride at the Second World Snowboard Championships. I just got into snowboarding that winter.
Soda Springs.
Soda Springs.
Yeah.
It was a great scene. 200, kind of like today, kind of like 200 heads, you know, just making it happen, having a great time. And was with my buddies and we were competing. It was fun. You know, it was like, why not? Let's buy an entry fee. Let's get our bibs. Let's go race. Let's go do the half pipe. And then at the award ceremony, I remember that Ken Achenbach went up to get, like, you know, his prize from Tom Sims. It was probably like third place half pipe or something like that. And as soon as he was going to hand him the check, Tom pulled it back from Ken and said, "You owe me some money for those snowboards." And that was like it. Ken Achenbach uncorked. Dropped about 60 F-bombs, big, lot of finger pointing back and forth, a lot of shouting. And there's just like 200, 300 people all just watching this melee go down. And I just kind of thought to myself, somebody's got to record this moment here.
That's amazing.
And then that was just kind of a joke we were saying to each other.
Yeah.
And then on the ride home, we were kind of talking about somebody should do a mag. And it was just, you know, a momentary thought. And it kind of stuck with me though. And so that year, I sort of started figuring out how to write a magazine.
Oh, my God.
Bob Klein was instrumental to, like, help me navigate Lake Tahoe, all the spots, all the locals, meeting Keith Kimmel, Alan Armbrister, Terry Kidwell.
Oof.
You know, just the people who were making it happen, throwing down the way they were, you know, took me to the Tahoe City dump, you know, which was, you know,
walking distance from me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Watching Arnbrister throwing big old, you know, methods and, you know, two-handed hand plants. And, you know, Terry Kidwell was just launching errors off this kicker, this one-hit kicker. Just everyone was just launching.
The birthplace of
yeah.
freestyle snowboarding yeah. was right here, was that moment, with exactly. those moments.
Yeah. It was just like right in front of us. And I had a camera and I was taking pictures, and that was some of the stuff. Keith Kimmel was there. That was some of the stuff that made it into the first issue.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sick.
I know, I saw that. That's so
that's
funny.
That's amazing. So was it Absolutely Radical first?
The first edition was called Absolutely Radical Snowboard Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a mouthful, but that's kind of how I felt about snowboarding back in the day.
Sure.
You know, that's how I, you know, we were all pretty
stoked.
Yeah,
that's what this is, fucking rad. It's
exactly. Like, I mean, you know, it was, there were hard to put words into what mm-hmm. we were feeling back mm-hmm. then. And I put the first edition out, and I remember giving it out at the World Snowboard Championship. I'd driven up from San Francisco with freshly printed magazines. I had about 500 of them in my car.
Were you nervous or were you excited?
You know, I was really excited, but yeah, I was wondering, like, I didn't really know, like, what the reception would be,
because,
you know, I'm some kid from the city, right?
I'm not
a pro snowboarder. I've met these people and they're all stoked that I'm doing it.
Cool.
And I love it, right? I love snowboarding. And it turned out to be just handing it out like a newspaper boy, just like, you know, who wants one, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I landed. And all of a sudden, it got really quiet in front of the lodge. And I just looked around for a minute, and there was about 100 people just sitting there reading.
Sick. Of course.
Not saying anything.
Yeah.
Reading and flipping and turning and, you know, going, you know, pointing. And suddenly there was more noise. And the next thing I know, Jake Burton Carpenter walked up to me, and he had a copy of it. And he said, I want to buy the back cover of that. And I had given him a chance to get the back cover, but he never returned my phone call.
Oh, wow.
I gave every manufacturer a chance to be in the first magazine. And, you know, I'm Tom Shea from Absolutely Radical Snowboard Magazine in San totally. Francisco. Please call me back, Jake. Burton Carpenter. Yeah. He's like, no, it's
right,
not going to happen.
Right.
Joel called me back. Joel was in there.
That's so sick.
Ghost Gate called me back.
Sick.
And a bunch of others. And so that kind of launched it at that point.
So were you out of pocket at that with those 500 mags?
Yeah, no.
Were you like in the hole?
I think we printed up like 3,000 magazines. And the deal was this, because, you know, it took a year to like put this thing together, write the stories, do the photography, do the layout. You know, I'm learning as I go, right?
Yeah.
Find a printer. The hardest part was, how do I get this into actual snowboarders' hands? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know
the distribution.
I don't know hundreds of
magazines,
people.
Right?
So I asked I gave every manufacturer the opportunity to buy 300 copies for 50 cents each.
Nice.
And
that's smart.
In exchange for a full page ad, and then you get those 300 copies to your customers.
That's amazing.
So I had 10.
That's really smart.
That paid $150 each, so I had $1,500. My print bill was exactly $1,500. I broke even the first, not including my time.
Right.
Right, of course.
Right, right. That's pretty
rad. I kind of broke even on the first thing, and I was like, oh, interesting.
This could do.
So this is how it works.
Yeah.
Very unconventional, but I mean, Joel had copies. He gave them out, you know, at a snowboard shop, and it's like, you know, that's how it got into people's hands. And then I didn't really know if I was going to do a second issue, quite honestly. I didn't have any grand plans. But I remember we had a coupon in there that said, by April 30th, if you want, for $5, you can get 6 more issues for next year's edition.
Because
we did this in March of 85. And I remember on April 11th, which was my birthday, I remember my at my apartment building in San Francisco in the Haight-Ashbury, my mailbox was stuffed so full of envelopes. There was like 60 envelopes in there from around the country.
I love
just by
that.
Chance on April 11th. And it had literally scribble scratch coupons clipped by kids and saying, so rad, I want another year's issue. Here's my $5. And you got a t-shirt.
so and I, glad at that, that point, you I was kind of locked that's in. Amazing. Yeah.
I felt pretty obligated.
Yeah.
I got to come through now.
Yeah. That's so sick. That's what a great story.
Yeah. It was something that was just unique for that time for me.
Yeah.
I never heard this around.
Well, I mean, everybody's got an origin story, right?
Yeah.
And it was all like, you know, I look at today, you know, we're literally 40 years from that, from when I started snowboarding. And I'm seeing all these people that I know, these people that I consider legendary godfathers and godmothers of our sport.
Yeah.
And, we were just lucky that we got called to do something in this. Like, we went snowboarding. Somehow we figured it out. And we got called on day one. And we found each other and we supported each other. And it wasn't always pretty. I mean, you know, it was hard.
Sure.
You know, what we were doing.
Relationships.
But it was us against the world.
Yep.
And it was, it reminds me of all the political work I've done since then.
Right.
The decades of political work I've done. It's like building coalitions, you know, building an army of true believers, you know, getting your messaging right. You know, you're trying to change something that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
And you're up against a ski industry, a patriarchal ski industry that hates you.
Hates you. Unbelievable.
Hates you.
Yeah.
Except for people like Norm Saylor at Donner Ski Ranch and a couple of others.
You're finding these pockets where you're accepted.
Exactly.
Baker, Howitts up at Baker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They loved us, right?
Yeah.
And it was like so unusual to, to have that.
Mm-hmm. But the addiction is there too. We've talked about it a lot on Mike about you go snowboarding and that is it.
It's
now, now you just want to go snowboarding.
It's it.
And I saw you shredding yesterday and I was blown away. I don't know why I thought that you were maybe like a nerd that made a,
I am a
magazine,
nerd.
But you rip, dude, you rip. Like watching you shred yesterday, I was like, this is dope.
Yeah.
Meet your heroes. Meet the guys that did this thing because they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing that makes it awesome is that riding these boards on these mountains is better than any drug I've ever tried. Anything that I've ever done is like the best thing you can do.
It is what we call the pure stoke. And
yeah,
I guess got it this weekend. I had the chance to run into Evan Feen at the lift line yesterday at 9 o'clock in the morning. He looked really hard at me and he knew exactly who I was. And I looked at him and he goes, Tom, I haven't seen Evan in 30 years. And he goes, I said, yeah. And he says, Evan. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. You know, last week I was showing my 19-year-old son like the first copies of the magazine. He's kind of interested in like what I did back then. And I was looking at an article in a first or second magazine with Evan Feen in it. And a week ago, I was thinking about Evan Feen. I was like, I wonder what's bro up to? I haven't seen that guy in so long. We had so many good days on the mountain. Such really great adventures. And freaking, I just manifested right in front of me yesterday. And we went riding. It was amazing.
Yes. And Evan's still charging.
Charging. Yeah.
Like one of the greats.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
Just a pure-hearted person.
Well, you're a part of the first generation of snowboarding that, unfortunately, in some ways, snowboarding was progressing so much year to year to year.
Yeah.
That by the time I got into it in 88, it's embarrassing to say, I didn't really understand what Terry Kidwell's legacy was, and I didn't care.
Yeah.
I was like, Craig and Sean, and then the next generation, always looking forward. But as soon as we look back, Chuck Barfoot, Tom Sims, yourself, these legends, that era, I'm jealous. You guys had powder days weeks after it snowed.
Yeah.
It's fun to have the fight up against, why can't we buy a lift ticket?
Yeah.
Why can't we make you money? What do you think we're going to do here? And then, you know, going and riding places where it's accepted and seeing pockets of, you know, a Sean Farmer, a Steve Link, like shredding for shredding's sake.
And I think that's what the perspective that time gives us, you know,
it's like
we haven't been old enough yet to want to look back. It's been so new and so different. And every year there's something, you know, a trick that happens or somebody goes bigger.
Right.
Or a technological advance happens. And, you know, it's sort of like that's the way the sport was created. It was just what's next.
Yes. Yes.
We hardly looked back.
Yeah.
And now finally people are starting to look back And there's a whole history in a library, fortunately.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about looking back is this event and the absolute... Here's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
If you wanted to know what boards are better, Burton or Sims, in this era, pre-1990, yeah. You don't see a lot. Oh, I saw one Elite, and the guy was ripping it.
Yeah.
But these Sims boards are... They still rip,
yeah.
And they're designed to ride this stuff.
Yeah.
And Sims was just kicking ass at that point.
Well, he's a California,
yeah,
born and bred.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, I would get calls from Jake in the middle of the night, and, you know, he's Jake. I mean, he's the leader of our industry.
Yeah.
And he would really give me a hard time. He would be in, obviously, had read the last edition of the magazine, and he'd say, Tom, there's way too many people in the air. And, you know, and he was...
Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I mean,
right.
He's conscious about, yeah, like, growing the sport from this, like, very, yeah, big global perspective of,
totally,
like, mountain managers. He's the one who even told me that, you know, no mountain manager wants anything absolutely radical on the mountain.
That's amazing.
And I kind of...
What a quote.
I changed the name of the magazine to International Snowboard Magazine the next issue because I was like, okay, I'm going to get with the program.
Yeah.
Jake's been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
Way longer than I have. And I want to be part of this revolution,
mm-hmm,
and I don't want to screw it up either, right? Because it was a balance of let's do us right, as best we can,
yeah.
But let's also show them that we can be reasonable,
yes,
patrons,
totally
responsible individuals,
a market,
and a real market.
We are
to grow this, so, right, more people can enjoy this joy that we have,
yeah.
And really, that's, I felt like, that's what we were all in it for.
Thank you for doing what you did, dude.
Hey, man,
thank
you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for starting this thing on this path. How hard was it to do the last issue, or were you just blown out and you're like, I'm done?
Well, you know, it's kind of a story where it was a really deep recession in the country. Snowboarding was going down. The magazine industry was going down. It was just, you know, running a small business, and I'm looking at Joel Gomez right here, is not easy. It's a challenge every single day, and you have to really be brave to do something like this.
Yeah.
And after doing it for 8 or 9 years, you know, it was just too much of a struggle. And I really did want to sort of go to something new.
Yeah.
And so the last issue wasn't even planned. It was sort of like there just wasn't a subsequent issue.
Wow.
And so there wasn't, even when we did the last issue, there was no plan to shut down ISM or not go forward. But the economics, you know, they don't lie, you know. And so, you know, you got to compensate your people well.
Yeah.
That was getting tougher.
Yeah.
And the competition, quite honestly, the publications that were well-funded and investing deeply into the sport,
yeah,
much more so than an individual like Tom Shea could, I mean, they were strong competitors.
They came in and, yeah, scooped.
And, you know, we had a great advantage early on,
yep,
as you think we would, you know, being early in.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, if you look around who's actually prevailed, you got to have some resources or just be an extremely good business person.
There are no magazines left. The rest, the people that are here now,
yeah,
it's passion and,
yeah,
it's... blood from a stone.
Yeah. Well, it's like what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you're following your passion.
Yeah,
I can
this
see
is
that.
Passion. I love it.
And
love it.
You're a storyteller now. This is now going to be part of the record,
right,
for,
right,
snowboarding.
Well, that's the reason
in 50
I even asked.
Years.
I'm like, I've never thought about the last issue episode of this. In the first 3 years, I was like, every episode was the last one.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that was so much work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when they offered me money to do it, I, right, was like, I don't think I should take the money because then I can't stop because I'm going to get stuck on needing that money.
Yeah.
And now here I am 9 years later, I quit my job and,
yeah,
this is what I'm doing.
I mean,
because I love it.
Yeah.
But I've been able to keep it wicked small. Like you said,
yeah. Yeah.
Working with more people and then it expands,
yeah,
because you've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
I have to just keep it tight.
Yeah. You're living the dream, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what I would do? I would do this for free. If that was what it came down to.
Right on,
to.
Right
because,
on, yeah.
Because look at where I am.
Yeah.
Look at what we did yesterday. That dozen people that were ripping that chair yesterday.
What a day yesterday.
That you couldn't put a price on riding in that group.
No.
You couldn't. You know, like that's the maturity of our sport now is such that you could pay to go ride with Shaun White for a day. And it's, I don't know, 20 grand or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
You could. That was priceless.
That was priceless. If you were to auction that off somewhere and say, "This is you're gonna have Donnersky Ranch for 4 hours with some of the greatest legends
untracked,
Come
on,
and you'd be that would auction for I don't know how much. You know?
It's priceless. It's just priceless. It isn't something that you could put a money value on. So that for me is the I'm you.
Yeah.
40 years later, getting the stoke out of people enjoying. That I'm, you know, doing something for the community.
Well, as people in the media like you are, one of our superpowers, and when we were a magazine, we knew this, is the power of recognition. You know, Jay Quinlan, I rode with him this afternoon, this morning.
Smoking Jay,
and he was just telling me that when he got that feature in ISM, it just blew his whole world up. And, you know, I hear these stories, and, you know, it's wonderful that people felt that way. And what you do and the people you highlight, you do the same thing. And what the organizers of the Tahoe Legends do by recognizing industry and snowboarding legends every year is the same exact thing. They're using their superpowers for good, which I love.
Yeah. If listeners out there, if you are looking for something cool to do, the mecca of snowboarding, coming and seeing the roots of snowboarding.
Yeah.
Still snowboarding. Then, you know, book your room next year.
Yeah.
Come up
to Donnersky Ranch.
Pay for your lift tickets.
Yeah.
Support this place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And race the race and run the event.
Yeah.
Or just
come here for the weekend and check it out. It's such a rad spot. I love this mountain.
It's amazing.
I mean, this is where we grew up. We grew up learning how to drop down these lines on the face, you know,
Hollywood
performers.
Oh, wow.
And people were just like blown away.
They were.
And, Damien Sanders went big off the face here on the fingers. I mean, you know.
I love it.
And today I watched a couple guys like take some good lines down today, you know.
Sick.
And it's just like magical here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's been a great weekend. Hope to be back again soon.
Tom Shea, thanks for doing the show, dude.
Yeah. Thank you
that
for having
great.
Me.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Keep
thanks
on.
Thanks for taking that time.
All right.
You
appreciate
bet.
It.
Thanks. F and Rad shout outs this week to Tom Shea. Thanks for doing the show, man. And thanks for starting the ball rolling for snowboarding media almost 40 years ago. Big thank you to Donnersky Ranch. And thank you each and every one of the Patreon listeners. Your support keeps the show going. Be sure to come back next week for another episode of F and Rad Snowboarding, presented by Skyview Campers and brought to you by F and Rad Productions.